Chapter 42. Lyria. Rat in the Machine. The Archimedes is the quietest ship I have ever travelled on. So quiet, I fear the growling in my stomach can be heard as I crawl through the access tunnel from my sad little hiding place in the auxiliary reactor into the machine shop. MRE wrappers and drained water bladders, now filled with my shit and piss, trail behind me on a cord connected to my ankle. I draw them out after me and refit the access grate. I pause in the dim shop, straining to hear beyond the purr of the engines. My mouth is chalky and swollen, my head pounding. All day I lay in my hiding place with the datapad Matteo gave me, studying Nagao. Mind wandering to one thing and one thing only. Food, food, food. I'm mad from hunger and thirst. When I hear nothing but the purr of engines, I slink through the machine shop toward the cargo bay. It is late in the ship cycle. The others should be in bed, the autopilot guiding the ship on its long journey across the gulf. My hiding place seemed well chosen at first. Located at the rear of the ship, just forward of the engines, the shop is seldom traversed by the crew of the Archimedes, except for Severo. Most day and night cycles I bear witness to his welding, his ankle grinding, his grunts, his curses, his giggles. And the music! Gods, it's terribly great! What's he making out there? I know it's my fault he's not going home. He seems to have gone insane after the news of Ulysses. Damn it, but I wish I'd kept my mouth shut. While I have gone 9 days without being discovered as a stowaway, my hiding place has its disadvantages too. I have to travel 40 meters, nearly the entire length of the ship, to refill my water and food supplies. So far, I've braved only 2 supply expeditions. Each time I risk being discovered. If I steal too much at once, it will be noticed. No telling how they'll react to a stowaway. They might turn the ship around, but maybe they'll just jettison me out of an airlock for my insolence. I think back to the stories we shared in Camp 121 about these vaunted heroes, about their exploits and how my siblings and I dreamed of meeting them. In those fantastical stories, my brothers and sisters always imagined we'd be their plucky lancers as Darrow and Severo swept us away on their adventures, draping wolf cloaks around our shoulders when they realised what big hearts we had in our small bodies. But now, seeing them, their scars, their machine-like limbs, the brooding danger in their eyes, well, that burnt the illusion away like a welding torch over hair. These are serious people. Dangerous, serious people. They'd have to be to stand a chance at the game they play. Still, I guess I'd hoped they'd be nicer. My heart pounds in the cargo bay as I pass under the gaze of their shiny new battle suits. They stand at attention in their racks, eerie and huge. The whole cargo bay portends violence. The place is stuffed with weapons and machines of war. What have I gotten myself into? I creep up the ramp, past the medical bay, training room and showers. My armpits and privates stink, but I can't chance a wash. Past those rooms, I hold my breath for the most dangerous stretch of my expedition. The crew cabins. No sound comes from Darrow's cabin, or the Pink's. The faint murmur of voices creeps through the largest door, Cassius's. He's watching Hollows again. A metal bottle clinks, signalling he is awake. He's always the easiest to pin down, owing to his habits. Drinks like a miner, that one, mostly when the others are out and the hours are lonely. The only hours I can move around. Lucky for me, drunk men here like old men. Poorly. I make it to the lounge without trouble. From there, I go right into the galley. I wince at the slight hiss of the door opening and then reel back. The smell of fresh food washes over me in an awesome wave. My mouth drips with saliva. A beautiful temptation awaits me. There, on the counter, under the muted red glow of the fresher, lies a feast for a queen. Half a loaf of fresh bread, with an open container of creamy yellow butter, shimmering apricot jam, a selection of stinky thick cheeses, and a gorgeous huge ham, glistening with a dewy glaze of honey. My salivary glands ache, and I swoon, but I can't touch it. Any of it. I dare not. It will be missed. Must keep discipline. Never take the fresh food, Lyria. That's a rule I made. With a lonesome glance at the feast, I slump toward the larder, where I drink a litre of water straight from the spigot, then fill 5 new bladders and stuff them into my bag. Next, I steal several days' worth of MREs, always picking from the back of the containers, and only taking one from each container so the depletion won't be noticed. I hesitate over the jars of sunflower butter. There are dozens. I've already taken 2, but it's my lone delight. Surely another won't be noticed. I steal one from the back, feeling the thrill at my own daring. With my supplies refilled, I prepare for my return expedition. But another temptation calls like a siren from one of those Greek stories. The rehydrator. I linger in front of it back in the galley, lusty, wishing I could dare to use the machine on my MREs. Oh, to taste hot food instead of the dead crunch of dehydrated calories that awaits me back in my sad little cubby. I could just do 1 meal, maybe 2, if only I could afford the noise the machine makes. No, I'm thinking like a mad woman. I already have my sunflower butter. I've been naughty enough. I pull myself away, only to feel a second tug, a greater tug. The ham. Oh, sweet failed the ham. It's a huge ham for huge people. Surely they won't miss a slice or 2. A knife is right there on the counter. Ham, with a dollop of butter, a nice slice of bread. I could make myself a sandwich. A golden fantasy appears. Me and my sandwich, alone in my cubby, getting to know each other real sloppy-like. I will make myself a sandwich. I deserve a reward for all this daring, don't I? I peek over my shoulder. The coast is clear. I set down my bag and extend a trembling hand for the knife, another for the ham, to hold it as I cut a small slice. But it's such a big ham that I give in to my greed and cut a larger slice. As I shift the ham to cut it, I feel a strange resistance from the ham. A tension. Squinting, I see something. A faint, almost invisible thread attached to the ham and running toward the wall where it's connected to a mysterious fingernail-sized piece of metal. Some primal part of my mind senses the danger before the logical part puzzles it all out. I've just taken the bait to a trap. Shit, shit, shit! Something snags my feet and jerks them out from under me. I'm flipped upside down. Blood rushes to my head. The knife flies from my hand, but I hold tight to the ham. Feet pound in the hall outside. I spin, wheeling my arms, suspended in the air. A dark shape runs full tilt into the galley. A demonic smile flashes on a crazed face that stretches as it screams at me. Ham in my hand, upside down, I yelp as Severo rushes me and envelops me in a sack.
Severo, get away from the airlock and put her down,
Darrow orders. She was eating our supplies.
Put her down. Fine.
Severo's voice is monotone beyond the dark fabric of the sack.
Severo, you're paranoid. Severo, you need to get more sleep. Your rat's imaginary, stupid Bologna. I told him we had a rat in the walls. I never miscount my son, Butter.
He carries me on his shoulder.
Tell me you didn't hurt her, Darrow's voice. Severo, she still has her scalp. Severo, Jove, she's just a girl. What's what?
A warm, masculine voice with the most beautiful accent I've ever heard asks as he joins. Cassius.
The airlock alarm went off. Where's Ori? Is she all right?
The pink's voice. I'm fine. I thought I heard a girl scream.
I didn't scream, I say in the sack. Yes, you did, Severo says. No, I didn't. He kicks me through the sack, hard. Pain jolts through my ribs. Stop, Severo, Darrow snaps. Is that a person in that bag? Cassius asks. Yes, I say. My name is Lyria. I am a person.
Is that the Red Scout? The pink, Ori, asks. Poor thing. Let her out.
No. There's a scuffle, and Severo curses in pain. Son of a bitch!
The bag unzips, and I'm dumped onto the floor at the feet of Severo, Darrow, Cassius, and a woman so beautiful she must be made of shadow and starlight. I blink up at her, forgetting the giants towering over me. No, shadow and fog, that's what she is. Hello, I say to her. The woman smiles sweetly, then sniffs Severo's shoulder. Is that urine? Severo pulls a knife the size of my leg.
Severo, Darrow says.
Severo stares at me with so much rage, I think he's going to kill me. Darrow sees the look too and asks if he's all right. The rage is not for the ham or the urine. It's for telling him about Ulysses. The others don't know. That's plain as day, and the look of hate carries a warning. Keep your mouth shut. He knows I got the message. He stalks away.
Cassius laughs so hard he has to lean against the wall. Ori disapproves of the entire scene. She scowls at Cassius and kneels beside me.
Lyria, isn't it? Are you hurt? She asks.
I shake my head and look up at Darrow. What do you think you are doing? He asks.
I told you that I can help.
Well, she pissed on Severo and lived,
Cassius manages between fits of laughter.
Name one other person who's done that.
This is absurd and cruel, Ori says, and puts herself between Darrow and me. Isn't she one of your agents? At least let her change before you interrogate her. I ain't so fragile.
I push her off and stand on my own.
God, Darrow is tall. So is Cassius.
Both broad as barns. It strains my neck glaring up at them. I swore I'd help to get Volga back, and I'm going to.
I gave you an order, Darrow says.
Remember, I ain't a soldier.
Severo gave you a message to deliver to my wife.
The ship is going to Aegea whether I'm on it or not. I left the message on the commissary table.
Volga needs me. Mars doesn't. Who is Volga? Ori asks.
Ragnar's daughter. Far's granddaughter. Darrow mumbles. Supposedly.
Ori blinks in surprise at me.
You know the granddaughter of the obsidian warlord attacking Ilium?
She's my best friend, I say, more than a little proud. Ori turns on Darrow to scold him.
And you told her she couldn't come?
This is my mission, he says.
The pink actually stands up to him.
It is my worlds that are under attack, Darrow. Consider we're entering a war zone. Might it not be best to have as many tools in our belt as our belt can fit? If you can't find a use for her, I guarantee you Athena can.
The obsidians will probably be dead before we even get there, Darrow says.
And if they're not? Ori asks. I feel a surge of guilt for snapping at the pink, and sudden affection as soon as she backs me up. Not to mention Darrow was listening to her. I know the Volk served under you, but they also deserted you.
That seems to wound Darrow.
Whether you like it or not, she's on our path.
Darrow scratches his beard.
She's not trained.
There are more ways to fight than with violence, Ori says.
She's right. Cassius agrees, obviously sweet on Ori.
I could use a janitor,
Ori glares at him. What can you do, Lyria?
I know how to hand a ship as crew. Rangers taught me to evo jump and shoot.
Darrow's eyebrows float upward. I can fly a bit too, and it might be small, but I can do things you can't. Went 9 days under your nose. Could one of you do that? Nah, you wouldn't fit in the electrical ducts. You're too bloody big. If it weren't for the ham and that crazy bastard, I'd have managed the whole trip. Not that it matters. You can't turn back. You lose 18 days.
I catch my breath and smile up at Darrow, hopeful.
I say we flush her out the airlock, Darrow. Straight up murder her,
Cassius says. But then he gives me a wink. I blush and smile back at him when I realise he's japing. He's on my side, probably just because of Ori. He's also the most attractive man I've ever had wink at me in my whole life. Matteo is beautiful, but Cassius... Oh, that's a man. Seeing Ori missed his sarcasm, he hurries to clarify.
But if cold-blooded murder isn't on the menu, Lyria is right. We are stuck with her. Personally, I think the more the merrier. I could use an extra hand with the ship.
Darrow's gone quiet, thinking, but not in a pleasant way.
What makes you so certain Volga isn't happy where she is?
He asks me.
You don't know her.
I do. Fa's a monster. He killed Ephraim. That Grey was like a father to her.
That seems to connect with Darrow. Cassius petitions on my behalf.
Come on, Reap. Kids house Mars through and through. Look, it's clear she wants to punch you. She's even got her arms crossed.
Finally, Darrow relents.
You follow my orders, Lyria. The last thing I want to do is cross the obsidians. My mission is not to rescue Volga.
No, it's to contact Athena, I say. His face tightens. Sorry, I overheard from the ducts. I really gotta stop talking so much.
You are an asset I choose when and how to deploy, yes? If our goals coincide, fine. If they don't, you suck it up. Returning to Mars with strength is our only priority.
Right. I got a condition then too, I say. If I get a shot at Volga, you let me go. Long as it doesn't slag up your mission. Like I said, I ain't yours to protect. Deal. Darrow sighs, spits in his hand and extends it. I do the same, and my hand disappears into his as we shake. It's the first time I've touched him. An electric thrill goes through me. If my sister was alive, if my brothers were, they'd die knowing I spit-shook the hand of the Reaper himself and nearly broke my hand doing it too. I don't think he even meant to squeeze so hard.
I'm back to bunk, Darrow says with a yawn. Cassius, Ori, you two seem to be our champions, so she's your charge. Find her a bunk and get her to work in the morning.
Cassius snaps a mock salute and drawls,
Yes, Imperator. Happy too, Imperator. Good call, Imperator.
Darrow leans in close to him, sniffs, and raises an eyebrow. Cassius shrugs, sheepish.
Right. So, can you actually hand a ship, or was that just talk?
Cassius asks me, once Darrow has left.
I can hand.
Lovely. He sniffs me this time and glances at Ori. I'll deal with the stench if you find some clean clothes, the pink says. Come along, you smell like an oryx.
Like a what?
I take my time in the shower. After 9 days in my own stink, the hot water is the veil itself. When I come out the flush, Ori is waiting for me. I cover my tits and nethers and jump back into the flush. It's only flesh, she calls and tosses a towel into me.
Easy to say when yours looks like that, I call back.
She laughs. Beautifully, of course. When I'm dry, she leads me to the crew cabin next to her own. It is small, but a grand step up from my cubby. It has a bunk, a desk, lockers, and a holovid player, as well as loads of candy and blue space charts. I eye the mattress like it's made of ham. After sleeping on metal, it might as well be. Wrapped in the towel, I stand awkward under Ori's gaze. Not sure what to do. I've never felt more clumsy and ugly than in the Pink's presence. She might as well be made of air. Maybe it was that insecurity that made me snap when she came to my defense. Thank you, I say to her, for speaking up for me. Who is this Athena, then?
She is a teacher and a leader. She freed me when I was younger than you are now.
So what is she? Like the Ares of the Rim?
Ares was a warrior. Athena is a builder, at least to me. You'll have to decide for yourself when you meet her. Cassius will be coming with clothes. Do you need anything else? Perhaps a lullaby? It's been a frightful evening.
I'm not 9.
Oh, it was a joke. Not everyone is aiming at you, Illyria. Glad you're aboard, she says, and sweeps away.
I wait in my towel on the bed until a knock comes at the door. Cassius enters and tosses me a bundle of clothes. My old pilot left her gear behind. Since you're in her quarters, figured, well, might be a little long in the limbs, but it's the best fit we have.
Thank you, I say.
Where'd she go?
Who?
Your old pilot.
He grimaces.
With my other crew members. He hesitates.
With Lysander Auloon.
I stare at him. Auloon? He nods across the hall to Darrow's door.
Auloon slept there?
You'd find out sooner or later.
Mad, I say.
Auloon there, me here. I laugh, stunned.
Why'd he go?
I ask. He chose to be Auloon.
Oh, I say, a little darker. And she chose to be a blue.
He seems surprised by my question, pleasantly. Yes. Tailor them however you like. They're sewing supplies in the machine shop, though be wary in there. It's a sty these days. I made you a plate, too. Some of that ham. But no eating in your room. Eat at the table like a civilized human. Can't stand crumbs on my ship. Must have standards.
I watch him for a moment. The Pink isn't here. He frowns.
And what does that mean?
You're sweet on her. Why else would you be so nice to me?
Shall I be rude? He flirts, and I blush. Is that your bent?
He sighs.
Maybe that's the fashion now. Haven't been back to Mars in an age.
No, I say. It's just, I know who you are. A cloud appears over him, dimming his features.
And who's that?
You, well, you're the betrayer, the turncloak. You let Darrow into the Dragonmaw to strike down Octavia the Tyrant, and you killed Ares.
I did.
He pauses.
A long time ago.
He looks sad now. Maybe for a moment he thought someone didn't know of his infamy. Maybe for a moment he thought he got to make his own first impression. He's so downcast that I feel a kinship with him, a need to lift him up. How many times did others change when they learned I was a gamma? They chose to be a gold and a blue, so they left, I say. You're still here. He looks at me with twinkling eyes. Could use the company while I see about that plate. You can tell me about the Archimedes and my job. I want to be a good hand. I won't be dead weight. I can't be.
He considers. Do you drink whiskey?
Red eyes, 140 proof blood.
He looks up as if to heaven.
Finally! Some decent company. You have a call sign already?
Red Banshee, I say.
It's rude to start a friendship with lies,
he replies.
What is it really? You can be honest with me.
I grimace. Truffle pig.
Oh dear.
A smile creeps across his face.
You really shouldn't have told me that.